As you begin the tour of In Pursuit of Light, stand in the area near the double doors while you listen to the following introduction. You will be instructed when it is time to move to the first work of art on this guided tour. What do an avid traveler, trend-setting chemistry major, art educators, a depth psychologist, and a political activist and working artist all have in common? We'll find the answer in this tour of art from the Martin Museum of Art's permanent collection. All 9 of the artists in this exhibition bring unique perspectives to the field of photography. Diverse backgrounds, personal experiences, varying interests in photographic subject matter and message are shared in their creations. Providing space and giving voice to art created by women is an important topic for consideration and discussion. Historically speaking, women and their artistic endeavors have been viewed as hobbies or women's work. The women who chose to pursue life as an artist, performer, writer, etc., were in many cases considered unfit members of society. Society's focus on women as wives, mothers, and keepers of the home resulted in people overlooking the beautiful artistic creations made throughout previous centuries. Museums are full of art created by men we refer to as the great masters. Obviously, their work has made a tremendous impact on the world for centuries. But what about art created by women? How often do we see their work? How many of them are recognized for impacting their field or the world at large? How many female artists can you name who lived before the 20th century? In Pursuit of Light features the work of 9 women photographers. They represent changes in art and worldview from the early 1900s to the present. This exhibition is designed to challenge each of us to consider the role and impact of women in society. During the tour, you will hear directly from our department's 2 photography professors. The opening thoughts of the 2 professors begin with a common theme. H. Jennings Sheffield said,
"The history of photography is full of female photographers who have captured images that have shaped our history, questioned humanity, and offer moments captured that are now imprinted in our minds forever. Although women have been creating photographs since its inception, it has traditionally been a male-dominated field for most of its history."
While Morgan Ford Willingham began,
"Art has been an historically male-dominated field, and the introduction of photography as an art form was no different. But that doesn't mean that women weren't making strides within the medium from the beginning, both in front of and behind the lens."
Each of the women in this exhibition was impacted by working in a male-dominated field. Listen for how they worked and studied to overcome this and also traditional mores. How have they made a difference in the field of photography? Look at the art shown here and follow the movement prompts we provide to know where to go. Move until you find the photo shown. This image was created as a gelatin silver print. Developed in 1839, the process creates black and white photos using photographic paper coated in gelatin containing silver salts. The silver salts are light sensitive and react when exposed to light. It took until the 1910s to become the preferred process. Magnolia Blossom was captured in 1925 by Imogen Cunningham. Cunningham, born in 1883, began taking photos with a mail order camera she purchased in 1901. In 1903, she began her studies at the University of Washington in chemistry. In 1906, she picked up the camera again, taking portraits. With the aid of her chemistry professor, her studies shifted to the chemistry behind photography. Photographing plants for the botany department, paid for her education. During her career as a photographer, Cunningham became known for her botanical works, nudes, and industrial landscapes. She was an active member of the cutting-edge group known as Group F64. This group, comprised of 7 primary members, included well-known names such as Ansel Adams and Willard Van Dykebroek. Imogen Cunningham went on to be the most famous woman photographer in the group, but was not the only woman involved. Breaking from the popular style of the day, Group F64 was interested in contemporary photography, captured with a focus on sharp, up-close imagery. Please move to your immediate left to the next work. Susan Dunkerley, a former Baylor Professor of Art, holds a BA in Art Education and a BFA in Drawing and Design from the University of Missouri, Columbia. Her MFA in Photography was earned at Pratt Institute. Dunkerley continues to impact young artists today in her position at the University of Wisconsin-Superior. In addition to her career as an art educator, she continues to work as a practicing artist known for her black and white photos. Her unique collage-style photographs rely on natural light sources pouring in from the windows in her studio. Window Collage with Lunar Moth was created in 1998 and is an early example of her work. Her artist statement says, "My images are compilations of items gathered from nature, combined with common domestic items associated with woman's work. For example, a pair of scissors, a broken piece of china, a fork, a female figurine. The objects become tiny characters come to life, evoking a richness of a world in existence between the reality of an object and the photograph that documents it." Move down the wall to your left to find the next work shown. Deborah Goldman graduated with a BFA in Photography in 1980 and an MFA in 1990 from Pratt Institute. In 2021, she earned an MA in Engaged Humanities and the Creative Life with emphasis in Depth Psychology from Pacifica Graduate Institute. Senta Pensante No. 2 was created in the year 2000. In talking about her art, she acknowledges the influence of places she lived when she wrote, "Having lived in Iowa, New York, Colorado, and for the past 16 years in Washington State, I have come to see that time spent in these vastly different environments has influenced my experience of place as well as informed the visual and symbolic language that I use in my creative work." She continues, "Art making is ritual to me. My work dwells in the exchange between nature and culture. In the ineffable space between inside and outside, the visible and the invisible, the physical and the spiritual." Move back to your right to find the next image. Developed in 1840, photoguavir is a process that combines parts of the photographic process with the intaglio print process. Even today, this detailed process takes 2 days to complete. After creating a positive image from a photo negative, the image is placed on a copper plate and through the use of gelatins, acid-resistant rosin, chemical baths, and cleaning, the image becomes etched into the metal. To create the print, ink is applied and the image pressed. Lorna Simpson, born in New York in 1960, used this process. She rose to fame in the 1980s and 1990s and was the first African-American woman to exhibit her work at the Venice Biennial in Venice, Italy. Her parents exposed her to all of the arts and sent her to an arts high school and summer programs. Prior to receiving her BFA in painting at the School of Visual Arts in New York, she traveled and developed her documentary photographic skills in the U.S., Europe, and Africa. In 1985, Simpson received her MFA from the University of California, San Diego. Her focus was between photography and conceptual art. While there, she developed what is considered her signature style. She combined studio-like portraiture with text. Untitled, Oblique Story About Absence, is an example of this style. Her artistic focus questions whether documentary photos are factual or serve as a constructed truth created by the artist. Look for this work to be located across the room. This work is the first of four by our next artist. Debuting in 1935, chromogenic prints were the first photos produced in full color. Kodak introduced it to the public in 1942 as Kodacolor. Popular with amateurs, it surpassed black and white images in the 1960s. It was embraced as a medium for fine art photographers in the 1970s. Please move to the photo directly to your right. When combined with light-sensitive materials, chromogenic photos emerge through chemical reactions involving the use of three layers of gelatin containing a silver halide emulsion and three color layers, cyan, magenta, and yellow. Also known as sea prints, they can be unstable and prone to color shifting or fading. Born in the 1950s, Suda House earned her BFA in photography and printmaking from the University of Southern California in 1973 and her MA in design photography from California State University Fullerton in 1976. Her work focuses on pulling back nature's physical boundaries to explore the strength and power of women. She continues, "As a woman, I stand in complete wonder and awe of life itself, and with a wide-eyed curiosity, I continue to photograph, to get beneath the surface, to discover what is under our skin, by laying bare the subliminal nature of the feminine, the carnal within us, the unearthing of our maternal fate, and the venerable nature that is within all women." The photo shown is located behind you. Please walk there. Those of us carrying smartphones have easy access to personal photography. We take and post pictures on social media sites, but at what cost and with what forethought? As Lorna Simpson questioned, are we constructing a truth of our own making? Suda House warns, we all carry a camera masquerading as a phone, and this phenomenon has caused the photographic medium to become viral in its availability for everyone to instantaneously share via the internet one's voice and vision, often with no boundaries. Therefore, we must aspire to apply the tenets of visual literacy, critical thinking, knowledge of the rich history of the medium, and the social responsibility within the power of photography. One image can immediately touch many, so it's our mission as responsible photographers to guide and enrich the world with our pictures, as well as recognize our future is filled with the possibilities within photography to see and perhaps change the challenging times ahead. The works of Suda House have been, in order of viewing, Lilith, Cedra, Juno Lucia, and Kali Ma. The next photo can be found on the back wall of this gallery. Born in 1957 in Houston, Texas, Dornith Dougherty graduated B.A. cum laude from Rice University in 1980 and received her M.F.A. in photography from Yale University in 1988. Since 1996, she has been a professor at the University of North Texas, where she is recognized as a distinguished research professor. Dougherty is very interested in science and specifically the environment. From her website, we read, a 2012 Guggenheim Foundation Fellow, Dougherty is an American artist working primarily with photography, video, animations, works on paper, and scientific imaging. In projects that interweave the evidentiary and the metaphoric powers of photographic images, Dougherty illuminates ecological and philosophical issues that are often neglected when considering human entanglements with the environment. This has led to her many collaborations with scientists, archives, botanical centers, and research institutes concentrating on environmental themes to create artworks that use the beautiful intricacy of the natural world to inspire conversations around and support for the protection of a distant and unknowable future. Listen once more to the Baylor Photography Professors. We hear first from Professor H. Jennings Sheffield.
Coming through undergraduate school in the 1990s, I was extremely aware that most of my photography professors and peers were male. Luckily, I had two female professors who introduced me to the work of many women photographers. I spent those years studying the humanity offered in Mary Ellen Mark's work, the strength and racial questions confronted by Carrie Mae Weems, the investigation of female stereotypes in Cindy Sherman's work, and Nan Golden's work exploring the LGBTQ subcultures through moments of intimacy. Although I had access to these female artists, the great majority of my feedback, critiques, and guidance that I was being provided were through the lens of male professors. As I entered graduate school in Texas 13 years later, I found the world of photography had changed tremendously. Imagery by women were now dominating the work that I was seeing in the galleries. In Texas, I found a group of women who were not only making incredible work, but were also friends who mentored and nourished each other's research and art. This nurturing and supportive environment was led by Susan K. Grant, Libby Rowe, Kenda North, Robin Germany, and Dornith Dougherty. Not only were they supporting each other as image makers, they were mentoring, guiding, and preparing a new generation of female photographers who were studying under them. There was no ego, no competitiveness, just pure celebration in all things photographic. They understood it was about the work and that being a female and having a voice was an important role to play. All of these women and many more have played a significant role in my art making process and how I view my role in the world today as an image maker and professor. Three more notable photographers who have personally affected my journey are Libby Rowe, a feminist artist and also my mentor in grad school, who taught me how to think past the genre and consider the intention of the work. Dornith Dougherty, who has mentored me in navigating tenure to understanding my art as research and figuring out how to procure grants and funding to support my projects. And Susan K. Grant, who has mentored me for many years by offering her insight and thoughts regarding my work, as well as offering valuable advice about how to approach museums for collection. I believe it is the empathy and compassion that women bring behind the lens and to their field that make them so powerful. Their commitment to their work goes beyond gender and offers a strength and unity not found in many disciplines.
And now, Professor Morgan Ford, Willingham.
I learned of the work of Imogen Cunningham while in high school. I was amazed by the striking intimacy of her work, and the more I read about her work and life, the more she fascinated me. This woman stood confidently beside her male peers like Ansel Adams and Edward Weston. She photographed some of the most notable people of her era, and she continued to make images throughout her entire life while raising a family. Another photographer whose work is in the show is Dornith Doherty. While I was in graduate school at Texas Woman's University, I had the opportunity to take classes at the University of North Texas and was able to study under Dornith. This was an experience I'll always treasure. Like Imogen Cunningham, Dornith was building her career while raising a family. Though it feels as though things are changing now, while I was coming through school, it felt as though there was an unsaid rule that as a woman, you would have to choose between pursuing a tenure-track career in academia or having a family. Dornith represented for me that it was possible to do both, but it required setting boundaries in order to keep a balance. In addition to her being a role model for career aspirations, she also inspired me with her work. Dornith demonstrates the importance of the relationship between disciplines. Photography is not on an island. It has straddled both art and technology and science since its beginning. Dornith's work seamlessly ties scientific research in global warming and ecology with fine art to share with the viewer what they may have never seen firsthand. When I consider both of these women, historical and contemporary, I'm inspired to consider the way in which I can make waves of my own to positively influence the future of both fine art and photographic education.
Please locate the image to the left of the last photo you studied. Sheila Pinkle, born in 1941, is a prime example of someone whose life has been dramatically influenced by their life experiences. Pinkle's father was a scientist involved in confidential nuclear projects, a fact she didn't learn until years later when she was researching the subject as part of her art making. Her grandfather was a labor organizer for the International Ladies' Garment Workers Union, or the ILGWU, one of the largest groups of women in the workforce and highly influential in the labor history of the United States during the 1920s and 1930s. Combine these family influences with growing up during the bombing of Hiroshima, the Cold War, her work as a researcher for the California State Legislature, and her work in social science, and you understand why she terms her art information art. Pinkle chose the University of California, Berkeley because of its liberalism and political activism. During college, she took part in demonstrations over the Bay of Pigs invasion and the House Un-American Activities Committee. She received her BA in Art History in 1963 and her MFA in Photography from the University of California, Los Angeles in 1977. Interestingly enough, she graduated without ever using a camera. She accomplished this and was, and I quote, inspired by her fascination with light and infinite potential for form in nature. She studied non-mathematical aspects of light phenomena, leading to a long period of experimentation with varied light sources and imaging techniques. This image is an example of zero radiography. It is a type of X-ray imaging typically used for mammography prior to digital mammography. This dry process requires no photographic developers. Pinkle explored the interior of nature revealed by technology and human-made things. X-ray Pinkle 3 was scanned between 1978 and 1982. Printed in 2016, Pinkle used a current process, inkjet. We'll see more images from Sheila Pinkle later, but for now, please move to the polls to find this photo. Inkjet creates a pigment print of digital photographic files. It comes from a French word which means splash or spurt. This four-color printer process was first used in art in 1991. Assorted pigment or dye-based inks, whether color or black and white, are deposited as a fine spray or microscopic dots on a support, for example, watercolor paper or vinyl. The next photo is on the back wall to your left. This image and the previous photo were created by Kenda North. North is an art educator and chair of the Department of Art and Art History at UT Arlington in Arlington, Texas. With a BA in Fine Arts from Colorado College in 1976 and an MFA from Visual Studies Workshop in Rochester, New York, North began her career as a university educator in 1979. She is fascinated with the interactions created by placing objects in water and photographing them there, as seen in Red Shoes and Submerged Desire. Move to your right to find the next work. Submerged Bliss is another image by North. She says, "Being underwater is a state of buoyancy, fluidity, and weightlessness. Unlike the open seas, water in a pool offers an ambiguous spatial depth with a color range from indigo to cerulean. The figures in these images emerge from the blue field surrounded by fabric and tulle. The color blue is a mindset for me. It speaks of desire, daydreams, blue gestures, and blue thoughts. In this state of being submerged, we are brought to a place of sensory awareness and uncertain reality. Light, reflections, and the confusion of materials and figure produce a world both mysterious and defined by light." Walk back to the poles to find this art. Miss Allegiance is an example of a black and white inkjet print by Melanie Walker, another art educator. Earning her BA in art in 1972 from San Francisco State University and her MFA in 1975 from Florida State University, she has taught in California, New York, Kentucky, and Colorado. The focus of her art is alternative photographic processes, digital and mixed media, photographic installations, and public art. This work is located on the wall to your left. Study Miss Cho's while we learn more about Walker. Walker says, "In my photographic practice, I have been driven by contemporary sensibilities as applied to historical photographic processes and handmade prints. In my immersive photographic installations, Daguerre's diorama and the prehistory of photography has been at the heart of my work. My intention with this approach to immersive installations is connected to growing up in a family where I was immersed in a world of photography. And, being born visually impaired, my practice has always been haptic and multisensory. I work with images on sheer fabric to emulate the double vision I experience with my visual challenges. In my work, I seek to address our fragile environment and our collective longing for connection in these challenging times of division and separation." Let's return to the art of Sheila Pinkle. Please find this photo on the poles. Pinkle's exploration of light sources led her in 2011 to place her lens on a flatbed scanner and capture the image. She was astonished by the color spectrum revealed as seen in LS Pinkle 4. Please walk to the art on the gray wall. Through LS Pinkle 5, we learn she was so intrigued by her first lens scan that she continued the exploration by scanning other lenses. she discovered each lens had a unique fingerprint based on its optics and coating. Step back by the double doors. We challenged you to consider several questions related to why not women's art. After viewing the art of these 9 women and hearing their varied stories, backgrounds, interests, and the messages shared, we hope you leave here with the desire to explore more art created by women in photography and other mediums. Check Baylor Connect for more details, including evening events and CAE extended hours. You have completed the tour. Please answer the question at the end and then show your final completion screen to the staff member sitting at the desk. They will ask you to show your Baylor Connect event pass. This pass gets scanned in order to provide credit. If you have never accessed an event pass or don't know where to find it, there are instructions posted beside the desk or a staff member can help you. Thank you for visiting the Martin Museum of Art.